Hello and welcome to this podcast called Your 360 on Dynamics 365. I'm Julie Bilodeau, National Dynamics Managed Services Support Manager at BDO Canada. Thank you for joining us, and if you're new to us, you are welcome here. We are your BDO Managed Services Support Team, and we want to give you the inside scoop of what's happening with Dynamics 365 and how it's impacting and enabling our clients to thrive during the COVID-19 crisis. We want to share with you the stories from the support desk and from those of us on the quote-unquote front lines, and also keep you informed of the new and upcoming features for each of our Dynamics 365 products. What better way to learn about your everyday system than by hearing from us, serving you, resolving issues, and also keeping abreast of these new features and functionalities continually being released by Microsoft. So hang on to your hats, be inspired and surprised, and prepare to be fascinated on how much there is to learn and know about the world of Dynamics 365. Coming up on this COVID special edition of Your 360 on D365, we're going to be focusing on the retail industry this time, an industry that's been greatly affected by the COVID crisis. First, we're going to start by getting some retail industry insights from our retail industry lead partner, Eric Matusiak, a BDO Canada partner. Secondly, we're going to have some really great insight from one of our Canadian businesses, Mastermind Toys, and we're going to look at what they've done to pivot their operations and also fill in the void of children's activities during this sensitive time, as well as lastly, we're going to look at Dynamics 365 tools and solutions for retailers. So what does the D365 space have to offer retailers out there? We're going to touch on that near the end. Stay tuned, and I hope you enjoy what's coming up. We're starting our podcast with Eric Matusiak, our national and GTA retail industry leader and partner for BDO Canada's consulting practice. Some of you may already know him since he's been with BDO for the past 3 years and has over 20 years of experience of consulting leading retailers in North America. Eric brings us his insights into the retail industry today. Thank you so much, Eric, for joining us today.
It's great to be here.
So I got a few questions for you. The retail industry has been a pretty hot topic when it comes to COVID. And when we think about COVID, we've all been, I'm sure, directly impacted by this as even consumers. How do you think the retail industry has been affected by the COVID crisis? And I mean, what do you think is here to stay as a result of it?
Yeah, no, thanks. And I know it's a two-part question, so I'll deal with the first part first. Around the effect, I mean, I guess the blessing and the curse of the retail industry is that because it's so public and it's something that consumers are aware of, there's a lot of information in the news, and frankly, a lot of it bad about how the industry's been affected. We've already seen a number of bankruptcies out there. There are some bright spots, however, but what I would say overall is that the industry has been hit very, very hard. You effectively have had a good chunk of the industry for good reasons, and the public health aspect to COVID. You've had literally like 80% of retailers close and be forced to close and deal either not deal with the public or deal with them in ways that are very different from what we're used to in terms of curbside pickup, more e-com than they're used to, etc. So this has been probably one of the most dramatic changes to happen to retail in a very short amount of time, probably in the last 50 to 60 years. So first off, this has been a massive impact on the industry, let alone the job impacts and the people who work at those retailers, etc. To the second part of your question about what's here to stay, when we speak with retailers, both clients and otherwise, we really talk about six things that we think are going to be kind of traits of the post COVID world. The first is an e-commerce boom, which I think is really kind of, and it's not going to go back. People have gotten used to, for maybe if they did 10% of their shopping e-com, they're now doing 20, 30, 40%. I think those numbers are going to be sustained depending on the type of retailer it is. And so we could expect to see whatever changes we've seen in e-commerce are going to stick. We're going to see accelerated store closures. I mentioned a few minutes ago that there have been a number of retailers in Canada seeking creditor protection. Our message around that is that a lot of those retailers were likely already in trouble beforehand. And what we have found is that COVID has just accelerated and accentuated problems that individual retailers or entire sectors of the retail space had. So you're going to see more stores close. And some may come back, but I don't think they're all going to come back the way that they were before COVID. The third thing we're going to see as a result of some of the financial upheaval is increased consolidation. Essentially, the strong are going to get stronger by buying up, weaker performing retailers, or in some cases, just as others drop off, the players who are left naturally are going to have greater market share. It's not all doom and gloom here in the sense that, there are still 38 million people in Canada who are going to want to shop. And as we reopen our economy, they are going to go back to shopping, which means that, the industry will bounce back, but it will look different in terms of who the key players are. Our fourth trait that we look at is around, that's going to linger is that focus on health, safety and cleanliness. Both from a shopping perspective and also just in terms of the way people think about of the whole buying experience, there's going to be an increased focus on that. It's not just a physical exercise, it's also a psychological effect, in our view. The fifth one, which is kind of one that is a little bit more of a prediction, before COVID, a lot of people felt that the future of retail and commerce had a lot to do with what we call the sharing economy. And that's everything from, vehicles to hotel rooms to people's homes, et cetera, and other assets. That clearly the health and safety side of things is going to trump any kind of sharing. And I think you're going to see a lot of those businesses, are going to have to really heavily adapt in order to meet, consumers' expectations. The sixth one, which we put sixth, but it doesn't mean it's the least important, is that retail is still one of the largest employers in Canada. And I think a lingering effect of this will be a need for increased flexibility in the workspace for those so-called frontline heroes and for people who are putting themselves at much greater risk in terms of serving the public. I think, whether it's pay or flexibility around hours, I think we're going to see more of that. So Julie, that's a lot there, but just wanted to, kind of run through those six things that we're thinking of.
Yeah, thank you, Eric. That's a lot to digest. One thing you mentioned there that I didn't even think about was the sharing economy there, the whole concept. I'm thinking Airbnb or those cars that you can just share with others. And although that whole economy, I, to be honest, I didn't even think of it until now, until you said it, of how that industry or that little microcosm of an industry is affected there by COVID and the measures that we have to put in place in light of the healthcare measures to protect us all and not have things spread further. So
well, yeah, I think of my, I use my own children as a lab, right, on these things. And for example, I mean, pre-COVID, the idea of taking an Uber pool home, where you basically ride share with like three other people in the car on the way home was just like, hey, yeah, it's a quarter or a third of the cost. Great. That makes it really affordable. Well, I don't think anyone's going to be rushing to take an Uber pool in the near future.
Exactly. It's unbelievable. The more we're talking about this, the more you realize how much the grips of, coming to grips of, wow, how in-depth COVID is really taking on our experience with these different retailers and services out there that we were so used to having before at our fingertips and didn't even have a second thought using. So what actions do you think retailers could take to survive this crisis that they probably already have? We're now even at phase two by this time of our recording. But what are your thoughts about even more of a survival steps. And now that we are at the cusp of reopening, how do you think retailers could take some action in this regard?
Thanks. So I'll sort of group my answer to that in kind of four areas. We think that there are four areas that retailers need to focus on, as this reopening occurs. The first is focusing on that customer experience. And that's everything from the initial interaction all the way to the what I'll call sort of the delivery of the product or service, which again, may not be in store anymore, right? And so why we sort of say that first off, we need to focus on the customer experience is that expectations have changed. All the old models that you had around, hey, you know, if we set up this website, we can expect this amount of traffic or this amount of, if we put out an ad in a flyer, we can expect this much increase in store traffic. All of those models aren't gonna work anymore because there's been such a massive shift in both sort of health standards, but also consumers' expectations. So really taking a closer look at all elements and all steps of that customer's journey and making sure that it's taking into account the changes in their behavior and the changes in expectations. That's kind of the first area that we were telling retailers to focus on. The second area that's related to that is merchandise planning and store layouts. For the time being, things are going to be very different. And so when you think of sort of just store layouts, the days of when you would sort of put, you clutter up the aisles with lots of extra goods on feature in the hopes that consumers would pick them, I think retailers are going to have to think a little differently about that because they've got to allow for more physical distancing in the stores. And that's just one example. I mean, there's a number of other ones that we talk with retailers about. The other thing on the merchandise front is, again, because consumer behavior has changed, what people are going to buy is going to be different. There's the how they buy. There's also the what they buy. Although a lot of people have been prevented for shopping for certain things because those retailers haven't been deemed essential, overall, this has been a massive hit to the economy. And many people, are either dealing with, reduced pay at work. In some cases, they've been laid off. And I do think that overall, I think you're going to see, for example, more value brands and people spending even when they get. Retailers have to take a look at what merchandise they're featuring and determine, hey, do we need to change our mix up? The third one that we talk about in terms of actions retailers can take is around their people. I mentioned a few moments ago around workplace flexibility. Well, you've got to kind of walk the talk and make sure that your employees are protected, that they're comfortable coming to work, and that you're providing them all the personal protective equipment they need to serve customers in a safe way. And that really means, again, taking a closer look at sort of your employment policies and everything else associated with how you keep those good employees engaged and serving customers in a positive way. The last one is around financial situation. Although you may, as a retailer, you may have survived up until now, things are still pretty tight in the industry. And when we talk to clients, we kind of say, a familiar phrase, which is cash is king, but also cash equals time. So if you are still sort of on the edge and just sort of barely getting by as a retailer, you really have to think about what can I be doing really on two fronts. One is to conserve cash. Yes, you've got to implement certain safety protocols. But are there things that you don't need to be spending money on that you can defer? And by the way, that includes rent and dealing with landlords. The second area is it's not just a cost game. It's also a revenue game. And yes, we're reopening. But the more that you can shift your business to get as much revenue through the door as possible, and whether that's being more digital, having a more sort of hybrid type of delivery where things are done in a little bit more distanced way, you've got to exercise all options there to bring as much money in the door as possible so that you can conserve cash.
Yeah, definitely makes sense, Eric. I know cash flow has definitely been something I've noticed even working with our clients here at BDO Canada and really helping them in doing so. Even outside those that are in the retail industry, that seems to be a general guideline for everyone trying to survive COVID these days. One more question. What could consumers expect? Like those of us that are, walking into the stores with our masks or waiting outside, with their social distancing lines that seem to go all the way around the store, what could we expect during these post-crisis period that we appear to be starting to get into these days?
Yeah, and I guess the one of the things that I'll sort of say at the beginning, just because I know we have different folks from different parts of the country listening to this podcast, is that of course in some parts of the country, I mean, the opening's already happened. I mean, we're based here in Toronto, and so we sort of look at our own experience. Well, we're one of the few major municipalities in North America that still hasn't moved to phase two, right? Because we've still had a large, sort of a continuing number of infections in the city. And so, yeah, so in some cases, we may be telling people, it's like, I already know this. But for what it's worth, like, what can we expect in those phase two, phase three reopenings? First off is that, yeah, that those plexiglass screens and a lot of the sort of the safety measures in store, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. Right, they're going to be in place for a long time, and you could even tell, at some of your local stores, these things have been screwed into the desks, right? Like they're not being taken down on the weekend.
Yeah, they
So,
look quite permanent.
yeah, I think it's going to be permanent for permanent for a while, anyhow. So yeah, you're going to see more of that PPE, the circles on the floor telling people to stand far apart. That's not going away. I think consumers should expect many retailers or even retail services. Think of movie theaters or any places where we gather. Assume that you're going to have a face mask or gloves or some sort of surgical mask on. It may almost become mandatory. And I know some retailers are actually saying they're going to hand out masks at the door as you come in. So, you can expect to essentially, have the retailer ensure your safety, whether frankly, whether you want it or not, it's going to happen. I think the other things that consumers can expect is higher prices. The cost of these measures, this is costing retailers a lot more money to institute these protocols. And think about all the suppliers of consumer goods behind the scenes who are also implementing these things, the slowdown in products from China, an overall what I call thickening of the supply chain. And when things get thicker, things get more expensive. And so those costs are going to get passed along to us as consumers. So we should get ready for higher prices on things and still some limited availability as the psychological effects I mentioned before linger. So I still think it's going to be hard to find flour and yeast for a while. And so those are some of the things that that consumers should expect.
Yeah, I gotta say on that last point, there's this brand of soap I like to buy, and I swear every time I go to buy it, there's one left on the shelf. There's one refill bottle left. And I'm like, man, am I always the lucky person to get the last one? When was it ever full? I never see that shelf full. It's always one left just for me. So I've been lucky, but I'm sure those after me aren't happy because they apparently it that that brand of soap or whatever it is, it's pretty popular and it keeps flying off the shelves. And I hear toilet paper is still a problem too, to pick up in some areas as well. So
Well,
I'm
yeah,
so
and as much as we're on a retail call, it points to the issue that this affects many industries, right? And behind every retailer, you think about it, if they have 50,000 products in the store, behind every one of those products is a sort of a factory or something who
That's right.
themselves may have been
That's right.
shut down or had to switch to making PPE to make ends meet, or frankly, just wasn't able to find enough staff to make things. So all of these things lead to limitations in product, like you've seen, and higher prices. So yeah.
Yeah, good point. Absolutely. So, another question for you, Eric. I've got two more here for you. One is, how can BDO help retailers during this time, or how have we been helping retailers during this time?
Yeah, no, we we help in a number of ways. You know, in no particular order. I mean, for retailers who have been struggling, I mean, we do help them with cash flow analysis and getting themselves reorganized for success. So we've been helping retailers on that front. For retailers who are, you know, I'll say sort of more of a you know, a survivor, you know, we've been helping them with things like return to work. So helping them understand, okay, what, you know, how do I manage my employees? How, you know, what can I, you know, what can I reasonably ask my employees to do? What can't I ask them to do? And how, what kind of that, what's that flexibility? What does it look like in a day-to-day kind of exercise as I reopen my stores? And we're also helping, you know, clients who are, you know, hey, getting used to this reopening, and they're beginning to look about how to spend. And in many cases, because of the increased use of distancing, not that it's saying it's exclusive, but one way that people are you know, kind of enabling distancing is through technology. And so that means that technology planning is back on the radar. The retailers may not have that much money to spend, but they know they've got to spend on technology, and we're helping them spend in a focused and judicious way.
So, Eric, to end on a positive note, are there any positive aspects that we can take away from COVID and the impact it's had to our retail industry?
Thanks for that, Julie. Yeah, I'd say, yeah, to end on a positive note is that retail's always changing, right? It's always dynamic because it reflects, you know, consumers' needs, their aspirations, their living conditions, and so forth. And so it's always changing. Now, in this particular case, of course, COVID is a public health crisis, but it's also led to, you know, kind of an acceleration and accentuation of changes that were already in play. But again, as retailers, you know, we're all used to this already. So some of the opportunities that we see coming out of this is that, you know, this is a great time if you're a retailer to really have a hard look at your operating model and actually like look at some of the maybe the assumptions that you used to sort of say, I can't touch, and actually say, you know what, now we're actually going to put those on the table. And that could be everything from the number of stores I have to the number of the sizes of those stores, the way that they're stocked. Because you may find that there's business models that both respect the social distancing that many customers want, but actually increases your efficiency in delivering to them. And so they're, from a consumer's perspective, you're actually serving them in a way they want to get served, and potentially at a lower cost. So that's the first one we look at as an opportunity. The second thing is that because of these changes in the industry, you know, there are going to be new winners and you know, so and folks who are going to lose and not be around anymore. But essentially, that change that I mentioned was going to be accelerated provides new opportunity for different types of retail delivery, different types of business models, even different types of partners who you do that with, and whether that's vendors, whether that's real estate companies, whether that's other cross promotions from a marketing perspective. There's a chance to do a lot of things new. It isn't business as usual, and so it's a, you know, it's there is an opportunity here. The third thing that comes out of any crisis like this is that there will be consolidation, consolidation of consumer spend, consolidation of retailers as retailers buy others or as others go through restructuring or insolvency proceedings. What that means is that the retailers who are left, if you're a retailer listening to this and you can make it through, is that the stronger are going to be stronger, even stronger coming out of this. So there will be, you know, a more resilient retail market. And remember, again, there's still, you know, 35, 38 million people in Canada. And even as of, you know, kind of I think a few days ago, the June retail numbers were back up to pre-COVID levels. So consumers are still buying, and they're back. And so if you're one of the ones who's been able to weather the storm, there's going to be a lot of pent-up demand for you. So that's a good news story. And the last thing I would say, you know, in terms of good news, is that, you know, out of every opportunity or out of every crisis does come opportunity, is that the word pandemic now has become a regular part of our vocabulary. And so when you look at products and services that are now going to be front and center in the consumer's mind with this greater emphasis on health and safety, if you're a retailer that that has products or services that either deal with, I'll call it, the prevention, response, or management of a pandemic or a health crisis, this is now a hot item in consumers' minds, and really represents probably a growth category, probably on par with cannabis, right, in terms of how much attention's being paid to it. So again, there is opportunity here. So again, there is certainly a crisis going on, but we've gotten through the worst of it, and it looks like we're coming back.
Well, thank you, Eric, so much for those thoughts. It's certainly, in a sense, comforting for some of us out there, knowing that we can recover, right? It is possible, it is happening, and that there's certainly some opportunity as a silver lining, so to speak, in this crisis that we all have endured for so long now. So thank you again for joining me on this podcast and for sharing us your thoughts today.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
And now we're moving on to our next segment, Dynamic Input, where we're going to hear from our spotlight client. As part of this retail industry focused podcast, we invited Mastermind Toys to join us so we can learn how they are rising above the waves the COVID crisis has played in this industry. Sarah Jordan joins us today, CEO of Canada's largest specialty toy and kids bookstore. She leads 69 stores coast to coast and online, bringing to life our authority on play and creating a world-class employee and customer experience. Sarah is a passionate, energetic leader with a track record of delivering results while leading transformational change at organizations, with a decade-long career at Boston Consulting Group and Senior Vice President at Scotiabank. So thank you so much for joining us today, Sarah. I really appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Julie. I'm really delighted to talk about Mastermind and the retail industry as we navigate these really tricky times.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And actually, that leads me to my first question. How did you pivot your operations to adapt to COVID measures and this crisis overall? Or are there any unexpected challenges that you came across during this transition?
Well, thanks for asking. At Mastermind Toys, we really pride ourselves on being customer obsessed. And that's something that we kept in the back of our minds as we continued to keep customer experience and employee experience at our core, even in the light of COVID. What's been really helpful is Mastermind's dedication and purpose to be Canada's authority on play. You know, our founding principle, and something that I've been leaning on during this time, is that play is kids' work. And so we've been agile through this time, ramping up our efforts to improve digital, ensuring that we have the right level of customer service. Through COVID, we assisted 5 times the number of customers during a typical period. We had to quickly introduce new ways of shopping, new journeys for our customers. We introduced curbside. We were also very aware that parents, grandparents, caregivers were looking to us, and we deeply connected with them and tried to understand the insights of our customers. They're isolated at home with kids. Birthday parties have been canceled. They're worried about their kids' education. And so all of these things allowed us to adapt to what our customers needed and what our employees needed. So we launched Instagram Live Storytime. We've celebrated birthdays weekly with Lego Master Builders, with leading parenting experts designing arts and crafts specifically for our viewers. We've done printables where people can put them on their windows and celebrate Mother's and celebrate Father's Day. And we've also featured kids' art on the Mastermind Art Gallery. So all that to say, Julie, we've tried to find ways where our customers can choose their own adventure through this time. And we've tried to be really nimble and innovative as we bring Mastermind to more Canadian families, to more Canadian kids, and even kids at heart during this time when play is so important to our communities and to our families.
Yeah, it really sounds, Sarah, that was so insightful. It It really sounds to me that you guys were really filling such a huge void, and especially now at the time of this podcast, we're pretty much in the middle of the summer where the camps are gone, right? We have kids that, like you said, are home. I know my daughter is, and it's pretty boring around the house. So you guys really sound like you filled a void there, a gap that we all needed as parents and caregivers in order to keep our children not just entertained, but also sharp with their minds, right? And I have to say, as a Mastermind customer myself, I've certainly looked to Mastermind to find those unique toys that give more of a nimbleness to the mind, right? That's going to promote that kind of cognitive growth of my children and not just, overall, playing with something less so.
Yeah. And thanks for saying that, Julie. We're really glad that you're a customer. Our customers enjoy being in the Mastermind stores, and they depend on us to curate the best toys and books worldwide. And we really take pride in that. When we think about buying toys and buying books, we're not just looking for something that's going to entertain a kid. Here's our philosophy. For each age and stage of growth, we think about how a child develops their body, their mind, and their expression. We have a Mastermind Academy where we train our employees to help parents, kids, grandparents, grandgivers navigate those choices. And in this moment, to your point, Julie, this is a moment where people are trying to balance education and development, imagination and fun. And we want to stand for that wonder. We want to stand for that excitement. We want you to trust us that the toy, book, or gift that you purchase at Mastermind is the toy your kid's going to keep playing with when the birthday party is over. And we really take a deep sense of ownership to do all that legwork for you globally to find those best toys and books that will really suit the needs of kids. And in this moment, there's such a spotlight on how kids should be spending their time. How can they better their mental health? How can we have the new recess or the gym class in our own backyards? And when we're trying to up our game to make sure Canadians feel served by us on those dimensions.
Yeah, I absolutely resonate with what you're saying. You don't see me, but I am nodding my head with you because I certainly have seen Mastermind promote this more educational experience. But like you said, it's education in a fun way. It's something that's not like being in school, but in a sense, you guys are kind of flipping school on its head in a sense and the lack of it. And like you said, bringing these amazing toys and experiences to children during this time of real uncertainty. And so I'd love to ask you, you were talking about curbside pickup that you've introduced and other measures in a sense that you've made from a business perspective. How was BDO Canada helpful with you in this transition?
Well, first and foremost, I've asked my team to be bold and scrappy. I mean, during this time, there's so much change and there's so much innovation that can happen. And so not only have I asked that of my team, but I've also asked that of our partners. We have phenomenal strategic partners with the best toy manufacturers in the world, but we also have technology partners and strategic partners like BDO that we need to also innovate with us. So here's how BDO has helped in two ways. One, we candidly did not have curbside before the pandemic hit. We had click and collect, we had reserve online, but we did not have a contactless, smooth way of making our customers and our employees feel safe that they could purchase something at a Mastermind store without coming in contact with someone else. So we needed to roll out curbside, a new journey for us. And BDO helped us bring that to life. By helping us make sure that we could accept payment, that we could accept payment in the right way with the right devices outside of our store, outside of our four walls. So that's the first example. The second example, which I'm really proud of, is that Mastermind Toys was the first branded pop-up ever on Loblaw Marketplace. What's so exciting about that is that we curated some of Mastermind's best outdoor educational toys for the Loblaw Marketplace. And in order to do that, we needed BDO support to help the information and the data flow so that we could live up to the Mastermind standard of surprising and delighting, but also getting the product to our customers on time through a new channel. So those are both ways where together with BDO, we've innovated. And I personally believe those are great examples in the Canadian marketplace that others are looking to and others are learning from. So thank you to BDO for helping us during that time.
Well, that's great news. And yeah, curbside has definitely been the thing to do these days. We see it at a lot of different retail stores. So glad that you guys were able to, you know, rise up to that challenge and get it going. And I mean, there is a silver lining to this COVID crisis, right? We are being stretched in order to serve our customers in different ways. But curbside definitely has been a real winner, I think even across the industry. So kudos to you guys on getting that up and running.
Thanks for that.
No, you're more than welcome. So speaking of other retailers in general, would you have any advice for them? I mean, we've heard a lot in the news and the industry as a whole was really struggling, especially at the beginning where we didn't have the, you know, phases of reopening. Do you have any advice for them on trying to pivot their operations to adapt to this crisis?
Well, I'm not sure if we can consider it advice because we're still certainly in a moment where we will reflect on this time and there will certainly be lessons learned. But if I had to say anything to fellow retailers or things that I wake up thinking about, here's a couple of things. The first is that I have found it very meaningful to lean on the purpose of Mastermind during this time and especially in decision making. Every morning I wake up and think about play is kids' work. And I think about our Why Kids Play model. And I've leaned on that as I made decisions, as my team made decisions together to close our stores, to invest in curbside, to launch on Loblaw Marketplace. So when you have that deep passion, purpose-filled brand, I have found comfort and I have also found guidance on leaning on that. So that'd be my first piece of advice. My second piece of advice was don't lose sight of the strategy. There's been so many short-term decisions and looking right in front of us that it's really important to have a clear vision of the future. At Mastermind, I started hosting bi-weekly town halls by Zoom, coast to coast with all Mastermind employees to continue to communicate about where we're going for the future. And while we're making decisions in real time, never losing sight of how that can build to where we're heading as an organization. My third piece of advice would be to move quickly and intelligently. Be bold and scrappy and to build momentum through this time. There's so much opportunity. I'm really proud of Mastermind for leading the way on this thinking. We certainly are listening to our customers. We're listening to their insights. We're co-creating with our employees. We're asking them for what they're seeing. There are eyes in our stores and with our customers on how they're feeling. And so my fourth piece of advice would be to deeply listen to your customers and to co-create with them and your employees. And if I can have a piece of advice, it would be to fail and fail fast. And as a leader, to truly commit to giving that air cover, that cover from the top, to let your employees take this moment to dream a little bit bigger. I know I've worked at other organizations where there's been a culture or a mantra of failing fast, but the moment you hit a speed bump, it's no longer considered a good first try. And for me, I've been trying to provide a spotlight on us failing and failing fast and learning, because this is a moment where we can be leaning in to all of these trends coming to life. And so those would be my piece of advice to other retailers.
Yeah, that's very insightful, Sarah. Actually, I love what you said about really reaching down into the employee pool, so to speak, right? And gathering their experiences and thoughts of those on the front line, so to speak, of being face to face with customers and gaining their input and feedback and the failing fast. Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm sure there might be quite a few audience members that think, well, yeah, I've definitely failed fast for now. But you're right, it's the learning part, right? And I love that what you said about opportunity too, because through the failing fast, you can learn, okay, that didn't work, but what did we learn from it? And what can we do now that'll make it better? And I find from a retailer standpoint that you guys are really in a unique experience because you now get to reshape the customer experience. And almost kind of, you know, I wouldn't say you have a blank slate. There are obviously some customer expectations, but if you guys are, like you're saying, failing fast and learning from that and reaching down into the employees that are, you know, face-to-face with the customers and they know what it's like to work with them every day and encouraging those new thoughts and ideas, I think we're really going to see a neat rise in customer experience and even customer satisfaction, because it sounds to me like retailers should be just much more sensitive to the customer experience, which is going to be overall better for everybody.
Yeah, and let me react to that a little bit.
Sure.
I mean, Mastermind Toys has leading industry scores on NPS, the Net Promoter Score and customer engagement. But we certainly don't feel like our work is done. Let me give you an example of failing fast. And at the same time, it's certainly a success. We love grandparents. Mastermind Toys knows that grandparents love to be a part of their grandchildren's lives. No matter what label they call them, grandparents are certainly really integral to communities and families coast to coast. And so in the summertime, we launched Grandparents Day. We launched it for the first time ever. It's not Seniors Day, it's Grandparents Day. If you have a grandchild or someone you call a grandchild or you treat and love like a grandchild, we want to celebrate you the first Tuesday of every month. And when we launched it, Julie, we didn't have everything figured out. We launched it with an age restriction and we heard back from our customers, but I'm younger. I'm a young grandmother and I'm a young grandfather. I want to participate in this too. And we really wanted to own it from a customer perspective. We didn't want to say we love seniors. We wanted to talk to our customers directly. So we launched Grandparents Day in July. We heard some feedback from our customers. And when we announce it for August and the tweaks that we've made to it, it's going to be even better. And we listen to our customers, we listen to our store managers, and we're on this journey with them. We want to lead in customer experience. We want to be the authority on play in Canada. And we are never going to stop using moments and using opportunities to listen to our customers more, to listen to what they want, to make sure that we're serving them in new and innovative ways. When we launched curbside, we didn't think this is a journey just for this moment. We thought about the busy parents, the birthday parties on the weekend, the jam-packed week that parents go through. And we recognize that curbside is actually a journey for the future. It's here to stay. So we invested in the signage. We made sure that our employees and our customers felt comfortable. And we know that curbside is going to be here. And we wanted to make it very mastermind in a way that even surprised and delighted our customers. We partnered with Made Good, which is a healthy snack provider that's right here in Canada. And for some stores in our local areas in Ontario, there's a bit of a surprise and delight in some of your curbside packages. You might get home and see some Made Good granola bars or some Made Good snacks in your bag. And because we want customers to know that we'll let them choose their own adventure on how they experience Mastermind Toys.
There you go, elevating the experience right then and there. those are great examples, Sarah, on how we're seeing customer experience shifting, and you guys are really at the helm molding it and making it your own at the same time. So that's excellent. Thank you so much for sharing those examples with us. Moving on to just my last question for you. Do you think this experience, this journey that you've been having here will have a lasting impact on your organization? I mean, it sounds like it's always going to be there, like you're saying, right? It's always a work in progress, but just curious on how you think the effects of COVID in itself and what you've been doing to mitigate it would have a lasting impact on Mastermind Toys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first and foremost, I'll talk about Mastermind Toys as the employee perspective and how we're thinking or how we've reshaped our culture as part of this. Certainly, this experience has taught us to question every perceived barrier. As we've been confronted with new challenges and new information and new ways of shopping and new ways of having our kids go to school and learn, it's forced Mastermind to really show up every day together, going in the same direction and really adapting to these changes and barriers. It has certainly taught us that we're up for the challenge. We've become more nimble and quick. We've adjusted our attitude on leading in this space. We've made sure that we deeply connect with our customers in new ways. And so certainly as a team, we have come together and we've rallied in a new way that I think we are really proud to say we are innovating and leading in this market in Canada, and maybe even globally. We know others are watching. We know others are looking to us for advice. We know our customers are coming to us for advice. And so I would love to see the culture of Mastermind, the team, continue to innovate and come together and break down barriers and challenge our thinking. I think there's also the reality for the customers. I think our lives have changed. What I've heard from customers is, while the pandemic has been difficult, and certainly it has caused us to work in new ways and homeschool in new ways and educate our kids in new ways, it has provided us time to reconnect as families, to do puzzles together, to play games together, to eat more meals together. And I think that connectivity of our communities, I believe some people will reflect and say, here's some things I've learned during the pandemic that I want to stick around and I want to continue doing. And here's some things that I've learned that I want to get back when this all goes to the next normal. And I say that because maybe our customers need more time and they want curbside. Maybe they want to continue to invest in their kids' education and spend more time with them at home doing some of those workbooks. And we're going to be there for them. We've had to rethink our categories. We've had to rethink what Canadian families need for their lives and for their children. Absolutely, in so many different ways. For our employees, for our customers, for our stores, for our communities. I believe this is a moment where Mastermind will continue to reflect on, and we will have learned so much from this moment. It will have started a new direction and a new path for Mastermind. I ask our team to be bold and scrappy, to keep Mastermind special, and to build momentum through this. I guarantee you Mastermind is going to continue to use that growth mindset as we move through the coming months and years.
Amazing. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for these insights that you've provided into your experience and your, your passion. I can hear it in your voice for not just Mastermind as an organization, but like you're saying, all of those lives that you're really touching and deeply touching, I would feel, during this pandemic, so that we can all, like you said, the mental health angle, we can all keep our heads on straight and continue to look after ourselves and even look after those that we love most dearly, our children. So thank you again for joining me today on this podcast.
You're very welcome. And there's certainly a moment of time for Canadian retailers to up our game to serve our customers in new and innovative ways. And I certainly feel extremely privileged to be leading Mastermind Toys, an iconic gem of a retailer in this specialty place, this specialty space. And I look forward to continuing to partner with BDO and to listen to our customers and to co-create with our employees in order to continue to make retail in Canada thrive and be an example globally of how you can lean into innovation and continue to deliver more and different customer experiences.
Oh, perfect. Well, we look forward to seeing it all too on the receptive end here as a customer myself. So thanks again, Sarah.
You're welcome, Julie.
Let's move on to our last segment of this podcast, Dynamics Delights. As we wrap up our podcast, I thought it would be prudent to tie our retail focus back to Dynamics 365. There are a couple strong options available within the D365 space for retailers to leverage Dynamics technology. First to note is Dynamics 365 Commerce, the new Dynamics 365 retail solution, formerly known as Dynamics 365 Retail. Microsoft describes Dynamics 365 Commerce as a solution built upon Dynamics 365 retail capabilities. It is delivered through an omni-channel solution that brings together back office, in-store, and call center. This tool boasts of providing retailers everything to build and run digital commerce, enabling you to build loyalty with your customers, having flexible and intelligent omni-channel experience, and seamless integration using AI in the cloud. Overall, it's a solution to check out if you're in the market for a new retail tool from the Dynamics 365 suite. For more information, feel free to visit www.microsoft.com/en-ca/retail-2-commerce/. Another option worth vetting is LS Retail Solution, offered through D365 Business Central. They call it LS Central. LS Retail tells us that for two decades, they've been providing customers with retail and hospitality solutions through Dynamics NAV. Since January 2019, they launched LS Central for NAV's kin, D365 Business Central. LS Central provides a unified commerce system that replaces separate platforms you may be using now. All of the data is collected in one place from sales to stock in real time from all your locations from a back office tool. You can either have a full cloud solution powered by Azure or a hybrid solution. Unification is the key with this product, from unifying your business processes from purchases, warehouse, CRM, store sales, franchises, and financials, to unifying your brand and your channels related to products, prices, e-commerce, and m-commerce sites. Looking for more information on this one? Feel free to visit www.lsretail.com/products/LS Central. I trust you enjoyed our podcast this time with a retail focus, an industry that has been greatly affected by the COVID crisis and definitely worth looking into. I trust that you all will take care in the meantime and that you're strong and healthy and looking after yourselves as we all navigate through this next normal that we're all encountered with during this time. In the meantime, until we meet again at our next podcast episode, stay strong and stay dynamic. I'm Julie Bilodeau. Hope to connect with you again soon. Take care.